Let us pray. Gracious God, let your spirit be with us. During this season of Lent, may we be able to clear our hearts to welcome you for the holy spring cleaning as we clean our houses, as we clean the church. Help us also to clean, to do a spring cleaning in our hearts through listening to your word and through meditation and reflecting on your word. Amen. All right. In seminary, I have a professor. Her name is Dr. Kathy Darr. Okay? She's still alive. She has written the commentary on Ezekiel. And she is also a pastor's kid. And she is now a faculty there. She's still alive. Very, very a strong advocate for the Bible, especially Ezekiel. She loved Ezekiel. And she raised this question, okay? Imagine how many have watched Lion King? Simba, Nala, Hakuna Matata. Is that the one? Is that the one? All right. How many have watched that? And what's the name of the father of Mufasa? And Mufasa told Simba, do not go to that elephant graveyard because those are bones, valley of bones. It's scary. It means death. Do not go there. And here is Ezekiel. Ezekiel was brought by the Spirit of God into that kind of valley where Mufasa did not like Simba to go, right? The Spirit of God brought him there. And, wow, Ezekiel saw so much dry bones. What is the meaning when there are dry bones? Death, right? Nothing good comes out of that place. And so God said to Ezekiel, you know, Ezekiel, talk to the bones, let them leave. And if I am Ezekiel, I will say, God, are you crazy? Right? These are dry bones. Why do you want me to do that? There's nothing good here. Let's go. Bring me somewhere else where it is nice and beautiful, like Florida, where Paul came from, or Aruba, right? Where it's tropical, everything is just so nice, or in Hawaii, right? Don't bring me to that valley of bones. But God has a purpose. When Ezekiel prophesied, talked to the bones, what happened to the bones? The bones got formed the muscles. Imagine this. From, you know, the bones got muscles, and then they start moving and alive again. All right, so this is the question that was asked by my professor. And I think Pastor Yuki and you had that professor too. What does it mean to look at our world and ourselves through God's eyes? In Ezekiel's eyes, that's dead. Nothing will happen there, God. You give up. Don't go there. That's it. I'm done with it. Bring me another place, right? That's Ezekiel. That is what he saw. But then Ezekiel saw, you know, those things, all right? So in reflection, that is with regards to the people of Israel, judgment is them, is on them, punishment is on them because they were disobedient. They were not faithful to God. So there is death, and you know, and there is death and nothing else. But then God intends to show Ezekiel and the Israelites that there is power in God's word. There is power in God's word that we are reflecting every day. There is power in God's word that when we wake up in the morning, we try to read the upper room. We try to open the Bible. For busy people, they said, okay, God, I will just open my Bible, and that is the verse you have in store for me today. And even before we sleep, there is power in God's word to be able to reflect and meditate. There is power to hear God's voice loud through the chaos, and even when you are silent, and sometimes even when you are asleep. And here in Ezekiel, he might be dreaming, or he had a religious experience, or we have no idea, but God spoke to him in a vision. All right? And God sees that Ezekiel thinks it's hopeless, they're dead, but God sees that there is hope. There is hope in hopelessness. There is hope in making these dry bones live again. And through God's eyes, impossible things can happen. You know that. Impossible things happen. And we heard so many stories about that. That there was somebody who was diagnosed with cancer, and then he went back, or she went back to the doctor, and the cancer is gone. The doctors cannot explain it. Impossible things can happen. Or when you are so nervous, for example, Nathaniel is so nervous, you know, having a presentation. I cannot do it, Mom. You know, has he complained like that? Where's Amy? Oh, no. Doing work. You know, I cannot do like that. I cannot do this work. It's so hard. But then when you ask for prayers, Lord, help me, then you are able to do it. You are able to do it. Impossible things happen when we believe, in God's word, and when we are open to God's word. All right. What is next slide? What does it mean in the New Testament, in this gospel, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb, and Mary was also complaining, "You are late, Jesus. You should have come earlier, so my brother is alive." What does it mean to look at our world, at ourselves through Jesus' eyes? Okay, well, how is that? Next slide, please. Okay. That means that the power that is in God is now with Jesus. Jesus has the power. Jesus has the power to do all those things. To give hope to the hopeless. Where there is death, to give life. Jesus has the power to do that. And Jesus have to receive the promises of God is to believe in Jesus. Martha. Remember Martha in the story, that one who always complained about Mary just being in Jesus, listening to Jesus and not doing the domestic chores, preparing food. Martha was the one who said, "You are the Christ." Remember that when Peter said that, "You are the Christ." And where Thomas said, "You, my Lord and my God." Martha was able to believe that. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah who has the power over death. And looking through Jesus' eyes, in Jesus, there is always hope. There is always hope. So let us go to the next slide. This is in Malden. Anybody who can tell me? Yes. Charles, what is this?
It's old skateboard shop.
You know the old skateboard shop. What happened there?
It got shut down.
It got shut down. Why?
Because the boss got shot.
Okay, the owner got shot. Death is all around us, right? A businessman got shot in that our own town. That is sad. You know, where can you go that you can be safe? Right? But please, next slide. Thank you, CJ. That's very good. And then we talked about the two Boston firefighters in the call of duty, doing something honorable, died. So many were sent to the hospital, so many were displaced. This is very, very painful. That even people, firefighters all over the world come to pay their respect. Death is peace around us. But we are not only talking about physical death. Spiritual death is also around us. In the presence of, let us, the next slide, please. Okay? Violence. Remember, is there a picture here of the kids? Can you go to the next slide? When we went last year, there is the Boston Marathon, and now Dennis is running again. How will these runners, in their, you know, there is that, they wanted to run, they wanted to finish it, and there are more runners this year. But then there is that anxiety there because of that violence that happened last year. And that will not be erased in our memories. You know, the violence, anger, hatred, you know, bullying, being hurt by the people who love us most or we love most, it is all over. It's all around us. But what happens next? Homelessness. Many veterans are homeless. There is just so many people. I've heard from Lil was sharing with us that they're now demolishing the city line. Town line. Is that true? So where will these homeless people be now? Death is all over the place. But then, that is why, you know, I love to be a Christian. Because we are a people of hope. We do not just, you know, all right, that's it. We move, we go forward, we have hope, we have joy, we have the strength. Because this death doesn't have the final say. Death doesn't have the final say. We, St. Paul said, we are all dead to sin. Like this plant. I have a plant like this. When you don't water them, right? It's like that. How many have experienced having dead plants? Right? See? Death, we are dead to sin. That's why next Sunday we will have baptism. Sophia will be baptized. And that is symbolic of we are alive. Through the waters of baptism, we are made new. We are a people we always with new beginning, new hope, new strength, because Jesus did it for us. And so this is the picture that I want us to see. Next slide, please. In Jesus, we are made alive. I tried to get the plant without flowers. I'm allergic to flowers, right? But in Jesus, we are made alive like this plant. The Spirit of Christ in each one of us is made alive in us. And so we go, not alone, but together as a community. That is one of the most wonderful things about being a Christian. We know that we cannot do it alone. We need our church community. That's why, look at these teenagers. They are here. All right? Because they believe, even though they're talking and they say, you know, that's fine. But they're multitasking. If I ask them, they know what I'm talking about. But it is. We need each other. We need each other. We are in a community. But then for those who love flowers, this is what we are as people of God, as disciples of Christ. We are made alive. We have joy. We have power. We have strength. Not because of all these vitamins and food that we need. Of course, they are important for our spirit, for our physical body. But because our spirit is in tune with Jesus Christ. That spirit keeps us alive. Not only alive, but also thriving and growing. Because look, when we see this plant, how do you call this? Crocus. When we see these crocuses, we smile. Because whenever we see plants, especially during this time that spring is coming, wow, what a beauty. And when we hope that this beauty that we see around us, the joy and the strength that we see, that we share in being together, in carrying each other's burden, will bring glory to our God. Death doesn't have the final say. God has the final say, because Jesus Christ paid it all for us. So people of God, let us go with that spirit in our hearts, that no matter what is ever is happening around us or inside of us, that is hurting, that is depressing, that is, you know, carrying us down, we will say, no way, no way. We have Jesus. We can go ahead and move on by the grace of God to bring glory to God. Amen.